Let's read this morning Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We read this in connection with Lord's Day 7 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which teaches us concerning true faith. This is God's word in Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by them which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. So far we read God's holy and inspired word. It's on the basis of that passage and in harmony with all of God's word that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 7 this morning. Lord's Day 7. Questions and answers 20 through 23. Question 20, are all men then as they perished in Adam saved by Christ? No, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. What is true faith? True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. And what are these articles? I won't read them, but then what follows is the Apostles' Creed. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we consider this morning Lord's Day 7 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which treats the subject of true or saving faith. Lord's Day 7 begins with question 20. And in question 20, we have summarized really what we have learned thus far in the Heidelberg Catechism. Question 20 reads this way: Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? That question says that all men have perished in Adam. That's what we learned in Lord's Days 2 through 4. That the effect of Adam and Eve's fall into sin is spiritual death to all those who come from Adam. The entirety of the human race that comes from Adam, who is our first father and representative head, is spiritually dead, wholly incapable of doing any good, and inclined to all evil. The definition of total depravity that's found in the first section of the Catechism. That's the truth that we read in Ephesians chapter 2. Those whom God hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, verse 1. And then verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together. So that's one element of question 20 that summarizes what we have learned thus far in the Heidelberg Catechism. And then the second part of that speaks of being saved by Christ. In Lord's Days 5 and 6, what we were led to see is that the only way of salvation is through Christ. If one is to be saved, God's justice must be satisfied. The full payment of sin must be made so that God says it is enough, it is finished. The only one who can do that in our place is the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only qualified mediator. Lord's Days 5 and 6 shut the door to any other option for being saved from our sins. The only way is by the one who is truly God, truly man, and perfectly righteous. And that one is Jesus. Combining those two main ideas, which we've studied so far in the Heidelberg Catechism, the question now in Lord's Day 7 is, are all men who perished in Adam, because that's the truth, every man is dead in Adam, are all men then saved by this Christ, who is the only way of salvation according to Lord's Days 5 and 6? The answer that the Catechism gives is no. All men who died in Adam are not then saved by Christ. And the answer to the question of are all men saved by Christ is looked at in Lord's Day 7 from the perspective of faith. Not all men are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are. And it identifies those who are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ as those who have been given by God the gift of faith. Because it is faith, and faith alone, that is the instrument used by God through which we receive the blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ. I call your attention this morning from Lord's Day 7 to saving faith. Lord's Day 7 teaches us two aspects of saving faith. The first is the bond of faith, and the second is the activity of faith. And so those are the two points to the sermon this morning: the bond of faith and the activity of faith. Let's begin with the bond of faith as it's taught in question and answer 20 of Lord's Day 7. The question that we are faced with as we explain what faith is this: how are we, who by nature are dead in sin, going to receive the benefits of salvation earned by Jesus Christ? In us there is no spiritual life. in us by nature, there is nothing we are and there is nothing we can do in order to again be received into favor with God. Lord's Days 5 and 6, as I said in the introduction a moment ago, shut the door entirely to us saving ourselves by who we are and by what we have done. We need a substitute. That substitute is Christ in Jesus. In Jesus alone is salvation. Question 20. And the answer speaks of all His benefits. All of the benefits of salvation are in Christ. In Christ, because He's the only qualified mediator. In Christ, because of what He has done. He came to this earth and He perfectly fulfilled the law of God. In Christ, because of what He did on the cross and in the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ merited salvation for His people by His lifelong obedience to God's law and by His atoning death on the cross, by which work on the cross He fully satisfied the justice of God for the sins and guilt of His people. In Christ and in Christ alone, there is our life with God. So the question is, it's all in Jesus Christ. As Lord's Day 6 says, He's our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. From 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, and redemption. It's all in Christ. The question is, how do we receive those blessings that are in Christ in such a way that are ours, and we have then life with God? The answer to that question is through faith, because of what faith is. Faith is the instrument ordained by God through which the believer receives those blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ. Without that instrument used by God, those blessings in Christ do not make it to the believer. But through the instrument of faith, what's in Christ becomes the believer's. Such is the essential character of faith as it relates to salvation and why the Catechism says what it does. Whom does God save? Understanding that that's how it works. In Christ, we need it. Whom does God save? Only those who have the instrument given by God, the gift of God of faith, so that through that instrument, we receive Christ's salvation. Lord's Day 7 looks at what that instrument of faith is by first teaching us that faith is our bond or our union to Jesus Christ. Question and answer 20 does that by using a figure. It's a figure that comes from the world of agriculture, and it's a biblical figure. The figure is that of being engrafted into Christ. Notice that in the answer. Only those who are engrafted into Christ and receive His benefits by a true faith. What question and answer 20 does is identify the essence of faith as the believer's union to Jesus Christ. It does so under the figure of grafting. Grafting in the world of agriculture is to take a branch and to unite it into a living tree. You're actually able to do this. You take a branch and you make the necessary cuts in the branch and the tree such that you're able to place the branch into the tree. And the effect of that is that the branch becomes one with the tree. And all of the life that is in the tree now flows into and is the life of the branch. Outside of the tree, the branch is dead. No life in it, but being engrafted into the tree, all of the life in the tree becomes the life of the branch. That precise place at which the branch is united to the tree is called the graft. And it's using that figure to teach us what the essence of faith is. It's that union, that bond to Jesus Christ. Christ is the tree, the living tree, in whom is life and salvation. We are the branches. That union to the living tree, that grafting, is faith. The bond or union through which we receive the life that is in Jesus Christ. I said a moment ago that this is a biblical figure. The Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, speak of our being in Jesus Christ from beginning to end. We had that in certain places in Ephesians 2. We're going to come back to Ephesians 2 later, especially verse 8, which talks about being saved through faith and it being the gift of God. For example, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus. The Scriptures throughout speak of being in Christ. That union to Christ is the gift of faith. John 15 uses the figure of the catechism. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman, verse 1 and then verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. But there, relating our relationship to Jesus Christ, teaches us that we are united to Jesus Christ, and that bond is faith. There's a few very important things to say with respect to this bond of faith. The first is that God gives the gift of faith. As we speak of it as a bond to Jesus Christ, to children and even infants in the Church of Jesus Christ according to His covenant promise. This is important to speak of faith as our union to Jesus Christ first, and not first as to what we're going to get to with the activity of faith, because it demonstrates God's covenant faithfulness in saving believers and their children. Lord's Day 7 makes clear only those who are engrafted into Christ by faith are saved. And so that leads to the question of what about children? What about infants? Children and infants who consciously are not able to know and to believe actively in Jesus Christ, which is what we're going to get to in the second point of the sermon. What about them who are not able to do that? Are they saved in Jesus Christ? And the answer to that is yes, because of what the essence of faith is. God gives children in the church, infants of believing parents according to His covenant promises, the gift of faith. Because what God does is He takes them who are dead branches and unites them into the living Lord Jesus Christ, so that the life of Jesus Christ is their life, and so that God, when He sees even infants in the church, sees them as in Christ and therefore righteous in Christ with the righteousness earned by Jesus Christ. God gives infants in the church the gift of faith because He unites them savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings up the second point here in this connection, and that is that this gift of faith, as it being a bond to Christ, can never be lost and can never be broken. This is important to emphasize in light of the heresy of the federal vision that teaches exactly that, that it can be lost and broken. Federal vision teaches that every baptized children in the church is child in the church is savingly united to Jesus Christ. As infants, every one of them, savingly united so that his benefits are the child's benefits. But the federal vision teaches that for that child one day to retain the blessings of salvation, it is based upon or conditioned upon what that child does, his or her faith and faithfulness or obedience or good works. So that if one does not do what is required of him or her, that bond to Jesus Christ can be lost. So that at one time he or she had the benefits of Jesus Christ and life with God, but now because the condition is not fulfilled, it is lost. That's a losable salvation and a resistible grace. It's not the Reformed faith. The Reformed faith teaches what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches that those who are in Jesus Christ and united to Him with the bond of faith never lose those salvation blessings. If one is united to Jesus Christ so that His benefits are their benefits, that bond will forever be retained and one will always be in Christ and always a child of God. God does not unite those who in the end will not be with Him in heaven, a child to Jesus Christ. And that leads to the third point. Well, whom is it then that God savingly unites to Jesus Christ and engrafts into the living vine of Jesus? Whom is it? It's the elect that God has chosen in eternity. It's the elect for whom Christ laid down His life and satisfied the justice of God. Those blessings of salvation stored up in Jesus Christ are earned for the elect in particular. And to the elect and the elect alone, God gives the gift of faith so that to them He unites to Jesus Christ and to them gives, through that bond of faith, the blessings that are earned in Jesus alone. Heidelberg Catechism teaches that the essence of faith is our union to Jesus Christ, through which union is the instrument used by God to receive our life and salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Catechism goes on then, in the second question and answer, to explain the activity of faith. And here's how we need to understand the relationship between 20 and 21. That those whom God gives the gift of faith to are united to Jesus Christ, and as they grow older, and as they're able consciously to know, consciously to believe, consciously to trust, that those who are united to Jesus Christ are given by God that gift too, so that they will consciously believe and trust and know the Lord Jesus Christ. That bond becomes active, and the activity of faith is described in question and answer 21. Let's be very clear about something here. Let's be very clear about what the activity of faith is. If someone were to come to you as a child of God and say, "What is faith? What does it mean that you have faith? You say that you're a child of God. Describe for me, tell me what that means that you have faith." Now you could start where I started. Well, faith is my union to Jesus Christ. But the Scriptures and the Catechism emphasize as well the activity of faith. And how do you answer that question? What is the activity of faith? You would say this: I believe. I trust in Jesus Christ. That's what my faith is. My faith is that I believe and know and trust Jesus Christ. We need to be clear that that is the activity of faith. The activity of faith is believing in Jesus. Now, I understand that question and answer 21 looks at faith from the point of view of knowledge and confidence. All that's doing is describing what it means to believe and trust in Jesus. One who believes and trusts has a certain knowledge and an assured confidence. To make this clear that that's what faith is as it relates to the activity, I want to explain briefly the Greek words and how they are translated in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have the noun faith used all throughout the Scriptures. We're going to come across that this evening when we consider Jude 3, the faith once delivered unto the saints. The word faith is a noun. The verb that is connected with that noun faith is translated in the New Testament as believe. And now it doesn't become clear to us when we read the English that those are basically the same words. Faith as a noun and believe as a verb in the New Testament in the Greek are the exact same root word. And they don't sound similar in English. Faith and belief, two completely different words. But in the Greek, they sound exactly the same. And I'll just say the Greek words. It's not important to know them, but you can see or hear from the words themselves how essentially they're the same thing. The noun is pistis. The verb is pisteo. Pistis and pisteo. You can hear that's the same word, the same root word. My point with this is very simple. What is faith as it relates to an activity? Faith is believing. Believing what God has in His Word and believing in Jesus Christ. And even as now when we talk about the activity of faith as believing, we have to still have in the forefront of our mind this idea of our union to Christ and the instrument that is our bond to Christ through which we receive the benefits of Jesus Christ. That's very clear when we talk about a bond, savingly united to Jesus Christ. But now when we talk about the conscious activity of believing in Christ, we still have to have in our minds that instrument through which we receive the blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ consciously. And the New Testament Scriptures make that clear too by the language precisely that is used sometimes when it talks about believing in Jesus Christ. For example, we have this in John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. In the original Greek there, what we have literally is those who believe into His name. Now that's striking language when you look at it very precisely. Our belief in Jesus Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ is not from a distance. We're over here, He's over there, and we believe in Him. But the Scriptures teach us that faith is believing into the name of Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ Himself. And that word into emphasizes what we're talking about here in Lord's Day 7. We're believing into His name such that we are part of Him. We are one with Him. We receive and appropriate for ourselves all that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the conscious activity of believing in Jesus, it's the instrument through which consciously we receive from God the life and salvation that is in Jesus alone. Faith is that instrument as a bond and in the activity through which we appropriate the blessings that are in Christ alone. What Lord's Day 7 does now in question and answer 21 is explain for us what that believing in Jesus is. Two elements to that. to elements that we're familiar with. It is a certain knowledge, and it is an assured confidence. We can't separate those two, as though one will be present without the other. When one truly believes, what will be present there is a certain knowledge, and what will be present with that certain knowledge is an assured confidence. The first is a certain knowledge. Faith believes something. Faith believes someone. Catechism makes clear what the object of our faith is. It is a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word. And then question and answer 22. All things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith teach us. Faith is a knowledge of the gospel and all that God has promised to us in His Word. You can look at that from a very narrow point of view, and then you can look at it more broadly. Looking at it narrowly, faith believes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith believes in Jesus Himself. Not as we conceive of Jesus Christ, but as Jesus Christ is taught in the Word of God and as Jesus Christ is proclaimed in the preaching of the gospel, as He is explained in Lord's Days 5 and 6. Truly God, truly man, and perfectly righteous, the only mediator between God and sinful man. Faith knows with a certain knowledge the gospel of Jesus, that He is and He is alone the Savior from sin and the one in whom we have life with God. And then more broadly, with that at its heart and center, faith believes everything in the Word of God, because the entirety of the Word of God is a setting forth of Christ and salvation in Christ, and the promises of the gospel, and every sermon in the end is the proclamation of Christ and the promises that are in Jesus Christ. Faith believes in the gospel of Jesus, revealed in the Word of God and in the preaching of His Word. And understand always that faith is not some bare, cold, intellectual assent to something. We don't believe in Jesus and in the truth of God's Word in the same way that you believe in the laws of physics when you're sitting in a classroom. It's a personal, experiential, intimate, deep, profound knowledge of the gospel and of the Word of God. So that when the child of God who has faith reads the Scriptures and it reveals to us who man is as a sinner, we say in response to that, "That's me, I know that. I know the need that I have for Jesus Christ." And when the child of God, with a certain knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, says, "Not only do I know that He's the only mediator between God and man, but I need that Christ. He's the only way that I'm going to have life with God now and into all eternity. And I long after Him, and I look to Him for my hope and salvation." One who has faith reads the Scriptures and hears the gospel and says, "I know this. I know it intimately. I know it profoundly. I know it personally as I look to and trust in Jesus Christ." And then faith is not only that certain knowledge, but faith is an assured confidence. Faith itself is an assured confidence. Confidence is certainty. It's the confidence of knowing that this Christ and the promises of the gospel are for me. That's the emphasis of the answer in question 21. An assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works in my heart. God works this in our hearts. And not just to others, but to me. The certainty that to me, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation. Those are the benefits of Christ that we've been talking about, are freely given by God merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. There too, the blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. Faith is the confidence that Christ is my Christ and my Savior. What this means is that our assurance of salvation, our intimate experience of knowing God, is through faith in Jesus Christ that believes and looks to and trusts Him for all of our salvation. An essential element of what faith is assurance and confidence. And beloved, it has to be that way. And this is what we need to know, is it not? This is what we need every single day. We need to know. And that's what the experience of salvation is. It's knowing in our heart, in our soul, that I am right with God. To know intimately in my heart and in my soul and in my mind that if I were to die today, this moment, I'm going to be with Jesus in heaven for all of eternity. To know in my heart, mind, and soul that nothing will ever separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. We need that every single day. And the way in which we have that knowledge and that confidence and that assurance is through faith in Jesus Christ. And beloved, it has to be that way because of who God is. It can only be as we look to entirely Christ for our salvation that we are assured and confident of that salvation. God is a righteous God. God is a just God. God is a holy God. And how am I going to know that with that God I have life? With that God I have intimate, deep, personal life that's going to extend into all eternity? It's not, beloved, it's not by looking at us, by looking at what we do, by even looking at our best works because they're tainted with sin. If I look there, as the Belgic Confession says, I'm going to be tossed to and fro. I'm going to look to Christ. I'm going to look to the promise of the gospel. I'm going to believe that it's all in Christ. And when it's all in Christ, then and then alone, the gospel is worked in my heart by the Holy Spirit such that I am assured and I know deeply and intimately and personally that I have life with God. And I have life with God forever. It's through faith, beloved, because of what faith is. Faith looks away from ourself, and faith looks to Christ, in whom are all of the blessings of our salvation that are in Jesus Christ. I want to read Article 22 of the Belgic Confession, which is the article on faith, in which this very point that I'm making right now is emphasized. We believe that to attain the true knowledge of this great mystery, the Holy Ghost kindleth in our hearts an upright faith, which embraces Jesus Christ with all His merits, appropriates Him, and seeks nothing more besides Him. That's what I've been describing. That's what Lord's Day 7 is teaching. For it must needs follow either that all things which are requisite to our salvation are not in Jesus Christ, or if all things are in Him, that then those who possess Jesus through faith have complete salvation in Him. Therefore, for any to assert that Christ is not sufficient, but that something more is required beside Him, would be too gross a blasphemy, for hence it would follow that Christ was but half a Savior. Therefore, we justly say with Paul that we are justified by faith alone or by faith without works. However, to speak more clearly, we do not mean that faith itself justifies us. And here's the language I've been using. For it is only an instrument with which we embrace Christ our righteousness. But Jesus Christ, imputing to us all His merits and so many holy works, which He had done for us in our stead, is our righteousness. And faith is an instrument that keeps us in communion with Him and all His benefits, which, when become ours, are more than sufficient to acquit us of our sins. It's the instrument given to us by God through which we know, experience, and are assured of our salvation in Him. I want to spend a few minutes now in the rest of the sermon distinguishing faith and works, and then properly relating faith and works. Lord's Day 7 says nothing about works. Rightly so. Lord's Day 7 says nothing about works. Lord's Day 7 is answering the question that I started the sermon with. How do we receive all that is in Jesus Christ as those who are dead in sin? The answer is by faith. And therefore it says nothing about what we do, any work that we would perform as an instrument to receive what we need that is found in Jesus Christ. It's all by faith. But there's value in bringing up the relationship to works because it helps clarify what faith is and how faith functions in our lives. And now to begin with, what we have to see is that the Scriptures, in the most sharp way possible, distinguish faith and works as that which is antithetical to each other. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 does that. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That's the instrument that we receive the salvation blessings through. And not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's all a gift of God, faith itself and the salvation. Not of works. There's the contrast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Galatians 2 also does this with respect to justification. I'll just read a couple of verses from Galatians 2, 16 to begin with. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 2 of chapter 3, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The Word of God, as clear as possible, distinguishes between faith and works. Salvation is either by God's grace through faith or it's by the works of a man. It's by grace through faith. And what that means is that faith is not a work. Faith is a gift of God. And faith is an instrument used by God through which we receive the benefits of salvation in Christ. And it emphasizes, when you look at those passages and when you consider this idea, the gracious nature of our salvation. None of it is by works, as we know. The only instrument through which we receive Christ and know Christ and appropriate Christ is faith. The bond itself and the activity as we mature and grow in our lives. And through that which is a gift of God, we receive the blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ. And I repeat what I said a moment ago. It has to be that way because of who God is. For us to have a peaceful conscience, knowing that it is all in Christ that we have our salvation. Works, as it relates to faith then, must be related in this way. They are the fruit of that faith that God gives to us. The works are not a secondary instrument through which we know God. Cannot be that. Because what is required in our salvation, it's all faith in Jesus Christ, because Christ is all of our salvation. Works are not that in our lives. Works, rather, are the fruit or the effect of this saving in true faith that God works in our lives. And that's the proper way, according to the confessions, to relate faith and works. Ephesians 2 speaks of that as well. Where works come up in Ephesians 2 is after verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. The salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. But then verse 10, created unto good works. Because faith always has a fruit. God has a purpose. Having granted the gift of faith, that unto good works as a fruit of what God does in saving us through faith in Jesus Christ, we walk in thankful obedience. And the confessions speak of this too. Belgic Confession, or rather, we'll start with the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 64. By no means, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ, that's why I bring this one up specifically, that's faith, implanted into Christ, that's everything we've been talking about, by a true faith, should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. The obedience and good works are the fruit of our faith in Jesus Christ. And then one more confessional reference, and that is the Belgic Confession, Article 24. I'll read just the end of the first paragraph and the beginning of the second. Therefore, it is impossible that this holy faith can be unfruitful in man, for we do not speak of a vain faith, but such a faith which is called in Scripture a faith that worketh by love, which excites man to the practice of those works which God has commanded in His Word. These works, as they proceed from the good root of faith, are good and acceptable in the sight of God, and what follows. They proceed from the good root of faith, which makes them the fruit or the effect of that faith. It's helpful to consider the relationship and the distinguishing between faith and works, because it keeps front and center what faith is. The gift of God, that is the instrument through which we receive Christ and know Christ and are assured of our salvation. And so the Word of God to us this morning, very simply, beloved, to conclude with, is that we believe in Jesus Christ and we believe the promises of the gospel. We know who we are, know life in us, and we know who Christ is, all the blessings in Him alone. What we do as we sit under the preaching of the gospel through which the Holy Spirit works in our hearts is we believe, we trust, we appropriate the blessings of salvation through faith alone. And may God by His Spirit work that in us so that we know Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. We're assured of that through faith. And knowing that, being assured of that, then we walk in thankfulness and obedience before Him. May God, through the gospel preached this morning, work that true saving activity of faith as the expression of the bond of faith of being united to Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for faith. We thank Thee for the gift that it is. For unto us it is given to believe in Jesus. And we pray, O God, that we might have that faith strengthened this morning. We thank Thee for Thy Word, which teaches us that salvation is by grace alone through faith in His name. For we know who we are as sinners and our great need that we have for Christ. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.